Welcome to the service of Compline during Passiontide, coming from St Mark's, Reigate. Alongside this audio recording on the website is a copy of the service booklet we are using this week. I encourage you to follow along and respond as appropriate as we join together to worship God and seek His calming presence at the end of this day. The Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and a perfect end.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
Most merciful God, we confess to you before the whole company of heaven and one another that we have sinned in thought, word and deed, and in what we have failed to do. Forgive us our sins, heal us by your Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ. Amen. O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
Amen.
Before the ending of the day, Creator of the world, we pray that you with steadfast love would keep your watch around us while we sleep. From evil dreams defend our sight, from fears and terrors of the night. Tread underfoot our deadly foe, that we no sinful thought may know. O Father, that we ask be done, through Jesus Christ, your only Son, and Holy Spirit, by whose breath our souls are raised to life from death.
O Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You mark out my journeys and my resting place, and are acquainted with all my ways.
For there is not a word on my tongue, but you, O Lord, know it altogether.
You encompass me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, so high that I cannot attain it.
Where can I go then from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?
If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand hold me fast.
If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light around me turn to night.
Even darkness is no darkness with you. The night is as clear as the day. Darkness and light to you are both alike.
For you yourself created my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I thank you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are your works, my soul knows well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my form as yet unfinished. Already in your book were all my members written,
as day by day they were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them.
How deep are your counsels to me, O God! How great is the sum of them!
If I count them, they are more in number than the sand. And at the end, I am still in your presence.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 to 32. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say, 'From heaven,' he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say, 'Of human origin,' we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him."
May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This year in Holy Week, we're following the journey Jesus takes from Palm Sunday morning to the cross of Good Friday. We're looking at what happens to change the music of "Hosanna in the highest" into the discordant noise of "Crucify him." Today we witness just one of the controversial confrontations Jesus has this week with religious leaders. On this occasion, it's chief priests and elders, who with teachers of the law form the body known as the Sanhedrin, responsible for maintaining order in both civil and religious affairs. They come to Jesus with a question about what or whose authority he has to speak and act as he does. This is an issue that has been raised before, when Pharisees once suggested that it was only by the authority of Beelzebul, ruler of demons, that Jesus cast out demons. Now in Jerusalem, the question has a new focus and urgency. Jesus, in clearing the temple of commercial trade, has acted as if he has authority over the temple. In other words, he is acting as if he believes he has an authority that will belong only to the Messiah, God's anointed one. The question they're really asking Jesus is, "Do you think you are the Messiah?" We can imagine the scene immediately after the question is asked. Chief priests may be looking self-satisfied. They've got him on this one. The crowd silence, sensing drama, waiting to see how this untrained rabbi is going to answer powerful figures on their home ground. True to the pattern of rabbinic methods of teaching, Jesus answers the question with another question. Was John's baptism from heaven, or was it human in origin? Now the questioners have a problem. The lives, teaching and ministries of John the Baptist and Jesus are so closely intertwined that they cannot be unconnected. To believe that John was indeed the prophet preparing the way for Jesus, the Lord, is also to believe that Jesus is the one who is to come, the Messiah. It was when Jesus was baptized by John that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and therefore given God's authority. Priestly self-satisfaction fades away, to be replaced by embarrassed red faces. Because however they reply, they're going to look at best foolish, or at worst wickedly disobedient to God's call. So they duck out of answering with a pathetic, "We don't know." Jesus comes back at them saying, in that case, he isn't going to answer their question either. His questioners are silenced and probably wishing they were anywhere but here, in an area open to the whole public, including Gentiles. But their discomfort is about to be increased. Jesus now tells the parable of the two sons, who respond differently to their father's command. It doesn't sound like a polite request. The question he poses at the end of the story has a very clear right answer. No room for ducking out of this one. The son who does the father's will is the one who initially said no, but thought better of it. The word yes from the other son meant nothing when it wasn't followed up by action. In case there's any doubt in their minds, Jesus then spells it out for the chief priests and elders. John's baptism was from God, and unreligious people like prostitutes and tax collectors recognised that and chose to turn their lives around. You couldn't recognise God's saving work even when you saw it in action among such people. Therefore, you are going to find yourselves further away from the kingdom of God than these people, who to you are unclean sinners. The tension in Jerusalem is mounting. Jesus has so far claimed an authority over the temple that could only belong to the Messiah, made the religious leaders look foolish in public, accused them of not following God's commands, and lined himself up with prostitutes and tax collectors who are apparently to enter God's kingdom ahead of priests and other religious dignitaries. We are a step nearer to the final showdown. And Holy Week is perhaps a time for us once again to reflect on how much authority we allow God to have in our lives, and how we respond to that authority when it asks of us something different from, or more than, we were expecting. Yes, we can forgive our friends and family when they make us angry or hurt us, but do we really have to forgive the person who harms us through jealousy or malice? Yes, we can talk about being a Christian with sympathetic listeners, but do we really have to speak up for our faith when people ridicule or reject us? We only have to think of Jesus in Gethsemane, pleading with God to take away what's about to happen, to know the answer to our questions. Accepting God's authority in our lives can lead to the cross. Uncomfortable as it may be, most of us would, I think, admit there are many occasions when what we do or say, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate faults, contradicts our professed intention of doing God's will. But we're promised that if we have the courage to stand before God just as we are, spiritually naked with no pretense or pride to cover us up, we can be forgiven for what is in our past, cleansed and healed for today, and strengthened and guided for our future. We are Easter people. Although we're walking the way of the cross, we are also on the road that leads beyond death to life eternal in the kingdom of God. Today, this week, we can choose again to accept God's authority in our lives, to say yes to him, and with his help, walk the way of life. Let us pray. God of our salvation, help us to turn away from those habits which harm our bodies and poison our minds, and to choose again your gift of life, revealed to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
For you have redeemed me, Lord God of truth.
I commend my spirit.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Keep me as the apple of your eye.
Hide me under the shadow of your wings.
Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
With faith and love and in union with Christ, let us offer our prayer before the throne of grace. Have mercy on your people, for whom your Son laid down his life. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Bring healing and wholeness to people and nations, and have pity on those torn apart by division. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Strengthen all who are persecuted for your name's sake, and deliver them from evil. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Look in mercy upon all who suffer, and hear those who cry out in pain and desolation. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Bring comfort to the dying, and gladden their hearts with the vision of your glory. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Give rest to the departed, and bring them, with your saints, to glory everlasting. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Let us commend the world for which Christ died to the mercy and protection of God.
Almighty God, as we stand at the foot of the cross of your Son, help us to see and know your love for us, so that in humility, love, and joy, we may place at his feet all that we have and all that we are, through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. Visit this place, O Lord, we pray, and drive far from it the snares of the enemy. May your holy angels dwell with us and guard us in peace, and may your blessing be always upon us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lighten our darkness, Lord, we pray, and in your great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night, for the love of your only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Standing at the foot of the cross, let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In peace we will lie down and sleep.
For you alone, Lord, make us dwell in safety.
Abide with us, Lord Jesus.
For the night is at hand, and the day is now past.
As the night watch looks for the morning,
so do we look for you, O Christ.
May God bless us, that in us may be found love and humility, obedience and thanksgiving, discipline, gentleness, and peace.
Amen.